hearings today. I'm Judge Sleater. With me, Judges Bradfold and Cochran. And we have the proceeding Catherine Jo Shanley petitioner respondent in this matter today versus Brian James Shanley, who's the appellant, A20009. Now, we have not received a briefing and therefore have no oral arguments from respondents, so appellant's counsel only, and I see Attorney Oyen on the video, and so we'll be ready to proceed. And what you'll notice, counsel, is that we have a clock in the corner, and that'll indicate the time that you'll have. That'll start running when you begin. Otherwise, other than the fact that we're virtual today, the procedure is what you're used to and the same. You'll have 15 minutes. And since we do not have respondents counsel, and I'll assume you will not have disagreements with yourself, so you'll need not to have rebuttal, that'll conclude the matter. And so if at any time, Mr. Oyen, you have difficulty hearing or we seeing you or hearing you, we will interrupt by stopping the clock and correcting the problem. So if you are now ready to proceed, if you would identify yourself for the record, you may begin. And you are muted, which I appreciate, Mr. Owen, until you're talking, but now you'll have to unmute. Thank you.
Your Honor, I apologize. May it please the court, Your Honor, Christian Oyen on behalf of the appellant. And I'd start off by saying that this case has a very long history. I'm sure if the court was able to observe the record, it goes back to 2010. One of the things that my client wanted to point out is that he and respondent had started a divorce in 2010, had come to an agreement on all terms, except for child support. The court rejected the agreement, and from that point on, litigation ensued. My client was unrepresented at the trial in the matter procedurally, and that's where the problems with parenting time first started. This involves a modification of parenting time motion. My client asked to modify parenting time in a motion. He also asked to be permitted to conduct a mental examination of the minor children based on the facts that he alleged in his affidavit for the motion. Essentially, my client had parenting time at the Family Wise Center in St. Paul on December 13th and December 20th of 2018. When he showed up for parenting time there, and the parenting time was supervised, Kal-El, the 11-year-old child, said, "Dad, you abused me," and refused to go in for parenting time. Well, my client has had supervised parenting time since 2012. He gets 2 hours, or he had 2 hours every other week. And that's been going on since, like I said, 2012. So about 6 years. My client has never had an opportunity to be with the kids alone since the divorce in 2010. And it raises a little bit of a conundrum. The only person that's had exclusive control of the children is mother. And for 6 years, these allegations didn't come out. There was never a statement by Kal-El or Jamie to anybody that said that appellant had been abusing the children. They made the outburst shortly after the December 20th, 2018 date. The Family Wise Center decided that they would not have any more supervised parenting time because they said supervised parenting time has been going on too long. My client made a motion to modify custody based on endangerment on the theory that there was parental alienation. Now, the court conceded that there was a change in circumstances. However, the court said that they conceded it's a change in circumstances, but they were unsure if it was a change of circumstances relevant to parenting time or for modification of custody.
Mr. Oyen, could I inquire, it perhaps doesn't go directly to the issue, except that I'm curious why, given the fact that his visitation had been supervised only, and that was the issue that was interrupted because of the issue with the visitation center, I'm just curious why there was not a formal motion to modify then the parenting time related to supervision rather than a custody modification motion. You represented him, I understand, in the trial court.
That's correct, Your Honor. I didn't represent Mr. Shanley or appellant in the initial stage of this. of this proceeding. It was only until about 2013 that I started working on this case. But my client had felt strongly enough that the children are being influenced by respondent that he wanted to try to pursue this modification of custody action. And the other thing about that is to not bring a motion that would have the court change its order, which would affect this appeal. I'm not sure how that would progress. I know that my client's option after this, after appeal, if the appeal does not succeed for him, then that would be the next motion you'd be bringing. COVID came about, that complicated things as well. And that's essentially, I've consulted with my client about that motion, that type of motion. This time, this was the choice he made, was to pursue this appeal. He believes that this latest incident in 2018 is a manifestation of convincing the children that they should not like their father. And he has not had evidence of that before, but not seeing them in an unsupervised environment for many years, and then having the children show up and having one say, no, no, you abuse me. I don't want to see you. You abuse me. Seems pretty telling to my client that behind the scenes, there is something that leads the child to say this. As we noted in our brief, we did cite a U.S. Supreme Court decision that was on page 10, but the or on page 11. U.S. Supreme Court decision, which has played a part in other cases I have handled, simply says that child abuse is sometimes tough to discover because it is usually between the abuser and the abused. In this case, we've cited sufficient cases to show that interfering with or trying to undermine parenting time is actually endangerment. And in this case—
Ansel, I wanted to ask you about that point. In your brief, you cite to the Amra case, and in that case, this court said that a majority of courts, including Minnesota courts, agree that a sustained course of conduct by one parent designed to diminish a child's relationship with the other parent is unacceptable and may be grounds for denying or modifying custody. So can you point to me where in Mr. Shanley's affidavit there's a evidence of a sustained course of conduct by one parent, by mother, designed to diminish a child's relationship with the other? Because, you know, Mr. Shanley's affidavit is very brief and doesn't contain much detail. So I'm curious as to what evidence there is of a sustained course of conduct.
And Your Honor, I think a review of the record would be important to point that out. We've had motions in the past to modify the parenting time, to modify the custody label. One, I believe, as recent as 2016. A much more developed affidavit was submitted there where there was an idea that this has been supervised parenting time since the outset, since 2012 at least. My client had some issues after the trial or around the trial of this and faced some lowered income at the time. But since that period, the respondent has not agreed to or engaged in any discussion about expanding the parenting time, which in most family law cases I have, that is the goal, is to expand parenting time, to get it more towards an equal amount for each party. And those affidavits would represent more information that we submitted several times about the fact that my client only has this limited parenting time. And even with that limited parenting time, there are numerous dates that the respondent would cancel it because she decided that she'd be out of town with the children. The family law records, hundreds of pages long, Your Honor.
Counsel, is it appropriate for this court to look at those prior affidavits that you're referring to as part of this appeal when they weren't included with the petition to modify custody?
I think it'd be important to look at the record.
Properly part of the record, I guess, is my question for you.
It would be properly part of the record. And this issue actually came up in another case that we had where you have to have citations to the record. However, if the evidence is obvious from the record, or it can be ascertained from the record. And I guess it wouldn't necessarily be required to include that with the brief. It would be, the brief would have been quite a lot longer with that information in it. But I'd just like to point out that the record does show historically that there has been no waiver. The responses by respondent have been obstinately refusing to expand any parenting time in any sort of way. And I understand that that is a party's right. However, it's not generally how the spirit of family law cases would work in Minnesota.
So counsel, I read through the transcript of the hearing that the district court had on your motion to modify. And I don't remember you making that argument that the district court should go back and look at the mother's course of conduct over time. So am I wrong about that? Did you present that argument to the district court?
No, I don't believe I did, Your Honor. And I don't believe I did because of the fact that we had the hearing. We've had multiple hearings in this case going back years.
Yeah, and I do appreciate that family law is different that way, and that you do have multiple hearings and have to make decisions about which issue to take up on appeal. And I guess I don't mean to suggest we'll make our decision based on what's happening right now, but is it correct that currently the father is not in any sort of supervised visitation relationship with the children? Because I noticed that the mother's attorney offered to reestablish supervised visitation during the district court hearing. So I'm a little confused by that.
Well, that's correct. And at the hearing, respondent's attorney did offer that. However, Family Wise would no longer do supervised parenting time. And their contention was that, and it's in the Family Wise records that were submitted with the hearing documents, Family Wise said that supervised parenting time is completely inappropriate. It's gone on for too long. So it's questionable whether or not my client would be able to pursue supervised parenting time when the supervised parenting time provider that has a history of this case, which my client would want to go to if he was going to have continued supervised parenting time because of the records they keep, it's unclear that he'd be able to get supervised parenting time somewhere else. The other thing too is, again, keeping in mind my client's objective for me to pursue was that he wants some sort of modification of custody whereby he is going to be able to have parenting time unsupervised and to be able to look at what the mental state of the children are to see if they've been manipulated. We had a discussion on the record about Dr. Paul Reitman. He's somebody that I know is familiar to the courts. He does forensic examinations that can determine whether or not a child is being manipulated over a period of time into not wanting to see the other child, which is exactly on point with Amara and some of the other cases that we cited.
I have a question for you. If we were to agree with you that the district court erred in its determination regarding the change of circumstances and endangerment, it seems to me there's two other factors that need to be addressed that the district court didn't address. And would we then remand back to the district court? Because as you recognize in your brief, for your client to be entitled to a hearing, he has to make a prima facie case establishing four elements, two of which are the ones that you've addressed in your brief, but there's two others that the district court didn't address. Well, I guess you address all four, but in my view, there isn't any factual information on the other two that's been developed. The best interests of the children and the benefit of the change in custody, whether that outweighs the harm caused by the change.
Yes, I believe what the district court did, and I can't conclude from the order because the order does not say we're not going to address the additional two factors, but I believe the court analyzed up to where the endangerment portion was discussed in the court's order and then decided not to evaluate the other two issues. And it would probably be appropriate for, if this is sent back or remanded to district court, we would ask that we were able to supplement the district court file at that point because of the passage of time. It's been, well, it'll have been 2 years approximately since this motion was first brought. And we'd want to supplement this with some additional information that my client's acquired over the last, well, ever since this appeal's been going on, ever since this order came out from district court.
And then in your view, how did the district court err in concluding that your client's affidavit wasn't sufficient to show, to rise to the level of endangerment required by the statute to support modification?
Well, and looks like it was page 5 of the order that the court discussed that. And it looks like the court dodged the issue fully. We had a full argument on the record, and I know in family law cases, oftentimes there's a pleading that will go in that's tailored to the budgets and the needs of the parties. And then we fully argue it at the district court, which we did in this case. We argued each of the elements. I'm unclear as to how this was not considered endangerment, because we did cite AMRA, which is pretty much the only big decision on parental alienation syndrome, which is what a lot of lay people call that. And I believe we did fully discuss that argument in the hearing, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And your time is concluded. If you want a brief final statement, Mr. Owen, you may complete with that.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, my client is just requesting this be remanded to the court. There is the issue of the discovery. I didn't get a chance to fully address that, but Rule 35.1.01 of Minnesota Rules of Civil Procedure generally outline a procedure for obtaining permission from the court to get a mental health evaluation for a party or for a child or something. The only problem is you have to have the information about when that's going to be scheduled. These doctors will not schedule one unless the party has some sort of custody rights. My client, again, has no legal custody, no physical custody. We ask it to be remanded to the district court. We'd ask that the court allow us the opportunity to obtain forensic examinations under Rule 35 without being able to schedule it. We can't do that without an order. And Your Honor, that the court just followed the law regarding modification of custody. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. We appreciate your comments today. We will rely on your comments and your briefing and the law in reaching our conclusion. And we will issue an order in the statutory time period. You have a good day, Mr. Ryan. This does conclude our oral panel, and we will be